I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Mauna Kea Resort on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Aloha, I'm Rio Michelli. I'm the executive sous chef here at Mauna Kea Beach Hotel. Been here about 2 years.
Aloha, Wendell Lesher, the director of food and beverage here for Mauna Kea Resort.
Tell us a little bit first about your background as a culinary wizard.
So I grew up here on the Big Island, up north in a little town called Hawaii. Started cooking at a very early age. I was an early riser and loved breakfast, so started making eggs at about 4 or 5 years old and just fell in love with culinary arts. And
so you knew by junior high that's what you wanted to do, right?
Pretty much. It was actually junior high. I actually, at that point, had moved to Healdsburg, California. Fantastic food town, right? Yeah.
So you got your speed in Healdsburg, California.
Yeah, absolutely. I moved over there from here to go live with my dad. So I finished out my last 2 years of high school at Healdsburg High and got a job in Bistro Ralph restaurant, which was on the plaza. Went for 15 years. I think they just closed last year. But the chef there, chef owner Ralph Tingle, had worked at Le Cirque and some other really fine restaurants in New York. And he kind of took me under his wing and showed me some things. And
so you were halfway through cooking school before you got out of Healdsburg.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I look at those days as kind of the beginning of my cooking school, for sure, yeah.
So you were in a stage in Healdsburg.
Exactly, yeah. So, Ralph and the sous chef and executive chef at the time really took me under their wing. I was kind of this young buck looking up to them and, really loving what they're doing. And so I moved my way up pretty quickly in that kitchen. And
did you get it about the local, organic, and sustainable, and that whole methodology that's so intrinsic in Healdsburg and Napa and Sonoma? Did you get that imprint?
Absolutely. I mean, in Healdsburg and Sonoma County and that whole area, they're so into, macrobiotics and biodynamics and all kinds of new age, styles of farming and cooking. And really, I mean, I think everything in that restaurant came from within 50 miles of the restaurant. And so that, definitely instilled a great, solid foundation of utilizing what's around you and what inspires you.
How about you? How did you come along your journey starting out in South Carolina?
Well, as we discussed, born in South Carolina, raised in Arizona, and home is where the heart is. And certainly been here in Hawaii for the last 14 years, and I consider that home. But, my introduction to hospitality and food and beverage, I would have to warrant back to my college days at Arizona State, where, like many people in the industry, got into the business to, put a little money in the pocket, so to speak, and started off as a dishwasher, of all things. Kind of worked my way up from there and met a high school sweetheart that had ties here in Hawaii and came out to visit. And unfortunately, things didn't work out for her and I, but as a fresh start, Hawaii was the place to be. So,
and when you say Hawaii was right too, Big Island?
Actually in Oahu, working for the brands such as Hilton there in Oahu, getting some exposure there and working in restaurants from, again, a host all the way to a busser, to a supervisor, to a waiter, and all the way up through the gamut, which led me to here.
You're food and beverage manager here, right?
Correct. I'm the director of food and beverage here for the resort, overseeing two properties and a great, talented group of individuals like Chef Rio.
What do you focus on in your food and beverage? A lot of it is sourcing?
A lot of it is sourcing, and I also think it's tying in the culture and the place into an experience. And when you have great talented individuals and great quality products, it's really about trying to identify ways of telling a story and creating an authentic experience for guests. Hawaii as a destination location has a very high expectation. And I tend to always make reference to this gentleman who's in Kansas City who's never been to Hawaii and what's his expectation. So we really try to bring that to life in a way that's truly unique to our property.
In Hawaii, in Big Island, is very much a multi-ethnic island. You have the world here. You have the Chinese, Japanese, Filipinos, Portuguese, on. And they all have brought back in the day their cuisine and their specialties. Do you guys play on that and learn from that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Hawaii, as you discussed, being such a melting pot of cultures and ethnicities, everyone who works here, anyone who's spent time in the islands has had that experience of what it means from that time of the plantation days when there were so many different cultures here and they all brought their cuisines with them. And most of their cuisines didn't stay the way they were when they came here. They melded with some of the other cuisines and kind of became their own, put their own stamp.
And ultimately they became a Hawaiiana cultural
regional,
cuisine experience,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. So
we only go so far.
Exactly, yeah. But there is kind of a whole kind of renaissance now of truly Hawaiian food.
A little deeper on that to talk to us about some detail how you and what you do.
So, you know, it's more particular to the ingredients being used. Canoe crops, you know, being the prime example. So canoe crops refers to the crops that the Hawaiians brought with them on the canoes when they first came to the island. So
you're talking true Polynesian then.
Polynesian, yeah. So food ingredients that weren't necessarily from the islands, but that were brought here. They were the first to come over on them. So staple ingredients like coconut, sweet potato, ulu or breadfruit, of course, taro, which poi comes from. You know, so those are some of the main staples of canoe crop in Hawaii regional cuisine now, yeah.
But to a degree, you're talking about accents. You're not necessarily talking about pineapple being main course. So it has to do with that flavor balancing and playing with the food presentation as a whole?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if you just put out just ulu by itself, most people, more developed palates and Western civilized people, they're not going to take to it just plain by itself. You have to come up with creative ways and melding new world ingredients in with them, trying different cooking styles to create something that's a little bit more palatable for the modern day eater.
Give us an example, a word picture of a plate presentation of one of your signature pieces that would incorporate that.
So we actually do a dish here at Manta right now that's fairly new on the menu. It's Hawaiian sweet potato encrusted ahi. So ahi, not a canoe crop. Of course, it's a fish, but it was one of the, you know, it's kind of staple fish that were fished here in the islands. So it's a block of ahi that's encrusted in purple sweet potato, which is, you know, one of the classic sweet potatoes from the Hawaiians. So the sweet potato is made into a crumb, dried and crumbed, and then encrusted on the ahi. It's seared, rare, of course, served with a ulu or breadfruit puree instead of mashed potatoes. And then we serve that with a olena, which is turmeric, the Hawaiian word for turmeric, also another canoe crop. Turmeric or olena coconut cream sauce. There's a little lomi lomi tomato, which is kind of a new world kind of Hawaiian thing. It's kind of a play on lomi lomi salmon. So that's the dish basically right there.
It's really cool. Talk to us a little bit about sourcing of local cool ingredients.
You know, some of the sourcing local cool ingredients, you know, living on an island that we have limited resources, and as Chef can attest to, a lot of these farmers got relationships that not only just with us here at the hotel, but up and down the coast. And as a limited resource environment, those relationships become very, very important in terms of a supply and demand type of environment. So, you know, Chef and I really focus on developing those relationships with those individual farmers.
Do you guys go out to the farm and meet with them and actually hands-on to a point?
We're very fortunate to have long-lasting relationships with farmers that they've actually come to us, and so we're able to take the relationship that was here prior to both of us and really kind of continue those and develop those along the lines that are nurturing.
The farmer might deliver the product here?
Correct. Yeah. Sometimes you actually get the actual farmer. And something that we've done recently here is initiated a new series. We call it our Legacy Dinner Series, where we actually highlight the relationships that we have with these farmers that have created this long-lasting relationship between the aina and the hotel. And
I'm just imagining in my mind, maybe I'm behind the curve, but I'm thinking like a winemaker's dinner, have the farmer come and join the dinner. Do you do that?
So it's same philosophy. The idea is to really increase the level of engagement, not your typical sit-down wine dinner, but as I mentioned before, as a location, we want to deliver on the experience level. So bringing the actual farmer, pairing it with an actual winemaker, bringing them in a more social context versus a fine dining formal type of environment, it gives the people the opportunity to speak with the chef, you know, speak with the winemaker, speak with the farmer themselves, and really understand what it means to get their hands dirty.
That's really special because food is food, wine is wine, and ultimately what makes it memorable is the experience. I was at a winery in Healdsburg, and the guy said, when somebody walks out with two bottles of my wine after a wine tasting, they don't buy the wine because my wine is so, oh my God. They do it as a memento of a fun afternoon. You know, and that's part of that story that you guys are making real for the guest here, because it's something special.
Absolutely, yeah. As Wendell's kind of pointed out, I mean, one of the great things that, you know, I've come to experience since he's been here is he's really great at challenging us to put a story to everything we do, to not just put something out because you feel like it, but to put it out because there's a story attached to it, whether it's from yourself or from the person who produced the ingredients that, you know, they go into the plate or whatnot. But nonetheless, people want a story, you know. I mean, anybody could get a plate, you know, or a glass of wine anywhere, you know. But if there's a story attached to it, an experience attached to it, it just makes it that much more special and memorable.
And that local story, just such a home run.
Absolutely, yeah. When people come here, they want to have memories more than just pictures. They want to have something they can live with forever, yeah.
Your fresh fish, are you able to buy locally from the fishermen?
Actually, most of the fish is going to be coming from day boat fishermen on the island, yeah. So we deal a lot with Kona fish, Garden Isle seafood, fresh island fish. And most of the fish that we're buying is coming off of day boats, you know, off of the island here.
So literally that fish could have been in the deep blue sea in the morning and in your kitchen that night.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're proud to say that's the case in most cases, yeah.
And we do realize you're spoiled, right?
I know it. Yeah, yeah, we know that for sure. You know, it's great, and we will buy what's fresh and what's around. You know, we do have items on our menu. You know, we do have mahi-mahi listed on some menus.
So that would be one of your signature dishes then that somebody could come back and expect to find.
Certainly, but for the most part, we keep our offerings not specific to one fish, you know, so it leaves us a lot of flexibility on, you know, utilizing what's fresh and what's currently available. So
whatever comes in the back door becomes a special of the night.
Yeah, that's right. Fisherman's catch of the day, yeah.
How about you? Do you get to talk and hang out with the fishermen and learn from them?
I wouldn't say not so much the fishermen. I have built a relationship with a different purveyor, and it's one that's kind of near and dear to our hearts now. It's our bees. You know, if I can transition into that subject.
Oh, yeah, please do. I love bees.
Yeah, indeed, as do we here at the hotel. We've recently implemented, about 6 months ago, we installed two hives here at the hotel, which gives us about 30,000 bees. And they've been working extremely hard during the blossom of the Kiabe trees that we have here, or mesquite trees, as some may know it. And we've been able to source almost 100 pounds of honey within that time period. And so, you know, again, we talk about quality products here in Hawaii, and so very excited to be able to give 100 pounds of honey to Chef to really create some things. And you know, as we talk about extending that guest experience, one initiative that we've put together is here in Manta, our fine dining restaurant and signature restaurant on property, we extend the dining experience by giving people honey biscotti. And so in the morning, when they have their coffee, it gives them an opportunity to reflect on the experience they had the night before. So it's taking that experience and extending it. So that's just one means of doing that.
Flavor profile of the honey is very distinctive. And
absolutely, very distinctive. You know, in Hawaii, we're one of the very few places, I think, in the world, aside from maybe Australia and New Zealand, that could produce honey year-round. So we're very fortunate to be able to have that. But we're also very fortunate to be surrounded with hundreds and hundreds of acres of Kiabe, which produce a very distinct, very light, very flavorful type of honey that that other areas can't produce. And so we're able to bring that to our guests, you know, through retail opportunities, as I mentioned, through the biscotti.
So you could go in the gift shop and buy your honey?
That's the intent. So again, this is in the infancy stages, as I mentioned 6 months ago. So as we begin to develop our bees and our hives, that's certainly the intent for us there. And you know, one of the things that I think is going to be unique to our honey program is our ability to create mead wine. And as a destination location, a lot of people we see come here for honeymoons. And so tying in the story of mead wine and offering our guests a small token of mead wine to celebrate their anniversary and the year that it was made to coincide with the year of marriage is, again, another great way to extend. And as Chef Rio said, tie in a memory to their experience.
You'd have your own custom label on your mead wine.
We do. I think we probably have one of the most unique, fun labels. And I'd love to give you a sample of this honey on your way so you can enjoy it and tell the story as well. But something that definitely draws people in, as I mentioned, certainly as unique as you're going to find.
Talk beef for a moment. As you know, there's Parker Ranch, largest privately owned ranch in the world, and yet they're not mega producers of beef anymore from what I understand.
Not so much for here on the island, actually. A lot of their beef does get shipped overseas.
So where do you source, and are you able to source locally produced beef and lamb?
Absolutely, yeah. They come from a collection of different ranches. There's a company called Kulana that's based in Hilo, and they're the main certified slaughterhouse here on the island. So they source their island beef from a collection of different ranches. Kahua, I believe they do get some from Parker as well. Ponoholo. There's a few other ranches that I can't name right now, but lamb as well, of course. Yeah, so most of it, you know, depending on who's in season and whatnot, you know, it's going to be sourced from one of those ranches and then, you know, has to go through a USDA-certified slaughterhouse and then gets to us, yeah.
So cool. I just can't believe what fun you guys get to have. I mean, it could be a real routine corporate job and everything is sourced from the same wholesale purveyor.
Yeah. No, but it's not. I mean, there's always challenges that arise, and there's always new stuff coming out on the market. And, you know, as you were touching on earlier, you know, new farmers coming up. And I was fortunate enough to actually have grown up on a farm here on the island. My parents owned a sprout farm, so I grew up on the sprout farm. And so just, you know, growing up there and going to different, you know, food trade shows, I got introduced to a lot of the farms and purveyors that I actually purchase, you know, ingredients from now.
Are there any greens and whatnot that you have a frustrating time sourcing where you've gone to local farmers and ask them to start producing?
Yeah, there's a few Waimea farms that we've kind of gone back and forth with, depending on weather and whatnot. Sometimes they go out of season, or there's different things that can affect their crops. But Honopua Farms is one that we've kind of used, you know, on and off. Hirabara is one that we've pretty much steadily used for maybe 10 years now. They're a great producer of baby lettuces and baby romaine, occasionally frisée. And then another great one is Kekela Farms, also up in Waimea. You know, great baby lettuces, baby romaine, arugula, and then a whole slew of root vegetables and whatnot.
Any parting thought?
You know, when we think about the culinary scene here in Hawaii, as I mentioned, you know, very isolated type of environment. So as Chef alluded to, while there are challenges, I think those challenges are even more enjoyable when we can overcome them and really deliver a great product. And I know I keep going back to the experiences that we leave with our guests, but it's one that is truly authentic at the end of the day. And while we work hard, we play hard, and we have a great time at it.
What is one of your most frustrating challenges?
You know, and that's an easy one, and it's one we're dealing with now, and it's weather. You know, Mother Nature, as beautiful as she can also be very challenging. And in Hawaii, we're very fortunate to have beautiful weather and an amazing ambiance and beautiful sunsets every day. We do have to deal with the occasional windstorm or a slight drizzle, but that would probably be the biggest obstacle, and it's one that many people would probably welcome.
Could be worse.
It could be worse.
Yeah, actually, I mean, you know, I just really love just doing what I do here. I'm really fortunate and blessed to have been found myself in this situation. Mauna Kea, growing up, to me was just this amazing legacy of a place, you know. And so to me, the idea of one day working here was unfathomable. So to be sitting here in this spot now, you know, is a dream come true in some ways, yeah. My name is Rio Michelli. I'm the executive sous chef at Mauna Kea Beach Hotel.
My name is Wendell Lesher, the director of food and beverage at Mauna Kea Resort.
And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Mauna Kea Resort on the Big Island of Hawaii. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.